Daniel chapter 3, a very, very, very familiar chapter. We've heard this chapter all of our lives, but I was reading it the other day and run across a little something I'm going to share it with you. You keep your Bibles open. I'll try to stay right here in this chapter and say a few words out of these verses of Scripture. And I'd like to talk to you today about staying calm in troubled times. Amen. Staying calm, and we are in troubled times. We are probably in troubled times more than most of us has ever been. Troubled times in our hearts, our lives. Politically, we're in troublesome times. Never been a day of political trouble like we've got going on at the present. Spiritually, we're in deep trouble in these days. Spiritually, a lot of falseness and a lot of wrongness in our spiritual realms of life. Physically, there's troubled times. Things going on, virus, different things that's happening in our country and our lives physically that we're facing and going through. And financially, you'd be surprised how many people's in trouble financially. Amen. One of the worst things they ever gave us was credit cards. Amen. And people are in financial problems. Emotionally, people just at so much unrest. And you'd have to say, we're in troublesome times. Even in the churches today, we're in troublesome times. Wonder where people's going to come back or not. Wonder what's going to happen. Wonder where we're going from here. What's going to take place in this and that. So we're in troublesome times. And here in this chapter, it was a time of trouble. I thought about verse number 1. It was a time of false gods. The Bible said, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Read this right. That thing was 90 foot tall and 9 foot wide. And it was a god, a false god. It was a god that could not see. It's a god that had eyes and couldn't see, ears and couldn't hear, hands that couldn't shake or feel, feet that couldn't walk. It was a god, but it was a dead god. It was a time that people was worshiping a false god. And we're living in a day where people are worshiping a false god. They're worshiping a god that they don't even know who he is. Amen. And they're worshiping a god that's a false god, not the true living god. And we're in that day in our country. Not only there was a time of false worship. Verse number 2 down through verse 7. Said Nebuchadnezzar the king gathered the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the province to come to dedicate the image. And you know the story. He said, when you pray, play all this music and everything, he said, you bow down, he said, to the God that I have put up. The king, whosoever falleth not and worship not, this shall be cast in the midst of a burning fire. For it was a time of false worship. They were setting up gods and setting up things to worship that was not really God. And we're in a day of false worship. Now, come on, help me out here, huh? We're in a day, did you know there's a lot of people worship man more than they worship God? You say, oh, no, we don't do that. Well, you let certain preachers come in, you'll come hear them. Other preachers come in, you don't want to hear them. Some preachers, it ain't about God, it's about their ministry. Amen. Some people come in, all they talk about is their ministry, and they want everything to come into their ministry. When they leave, church needs help. Amen. We're in a day that people are worshiping themselves. They're worshiping man. They're worshiping, and we're in a day of false worship. We worship, we know not what. Amen. And we base worship on emotionalism. But every time I ever found in the Bible that anybody ever worshiped God, they fell on their face before God and exalted him and magnified him. Amen. And so it was a time of false worship. And then it was not only a time of false gods and false worship, it was a time of false accusations. Verse number 8, the Bible said that when at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They said unto the king and Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree. And he talked about when all this music is played, everybody's supposed to fall down and worship. But he said in verse 12, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy God, nor worship thy golden image, which thou hast set up. And here's the day, my friend, that they accuse these men of worshiping the wrong God. They said they're not worshiping what you set up. They're not worshiping what you want to worship. They're not worshiping, and they're not going in your direction. We're in that day today where, my friend, the political world is accusing us of being wrong. You're not going our way. You're not you're not right. You're not true. And they're accusing. We're in a day, and I hate to say this, but we're in a day where a lot of churches and a lot of modernism, my friend, they're accusing us of having the wrong Bible. They're accusing us of worshiping the wrong God. Singing the wrong songs. Amen. Praying the wrong prayer. And they're accused. That's why the attack has came down upon the churches like this that believes in the old time way and believes in the truth and believes in God and believes that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth and the life. And we're under a day of false accusation. We're wrong and they're right. Amen. Now come on, help me out. It'll be better in a minute. Amen. But we're in a day of false gods and a false worship, false accusation, and we're in a day of false attitudes. Look at verse 13. Then the king, in his rage and fury, it made him mad. It made him mad because they would not go his way. It made him mad because he didn't worship his God. And he commanded the Shadrach to be brought before him. He brought him before him. And listen to verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar said unto the king, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready at that time, once you hear the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the cimmer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image that I have made, well." If you'll just go ahead and fall down, well, everything's going to be okay. Amen? You know what? That's what the world is saying today. If you'll go in our direction. So religion says today, if you go in our direction, everything's going to be okay. We won't bother you, and we're not. But if you're going to go in the direction that you've been going, it's not going to be well. Amen. And then the Bible said here in verse 15, he says, "But if you worship not, you shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the fire furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" In other words, he said, "Listen, my God. I've got my God if you worship him, but if not, we're going to throw you in the fire furnace. And who is that God that can deliver you then?" You know, the world thinks their God's greater than our God. They got a dead God, we got a live God, but they think their dead's greater than we are. I'm going to tell you, if it's a dead man laying here and Jordan's laying here and you need help, you ain't going to ask the dead man to help you. You look kind of stupid up here, slick, saying, "Dead man, please help me. I need some help," and crying out to him. I'd say, "Hey, there's a man here that's alive. There's a man here that's got money. There's a man here that's got wisdom. There's a man here that's got something that can help you, my friend. And won't you ask him instead of asking that dead man? He can't help you." You know what we're living in today, where they're trying to serve, and my friend, wanting a dead God to try to help us. And I'll tell you what, we got a living God, my friend, that's able to do exceedingly abundant above. Why is the dead God that has eyes and can't see, and ears and can't hear, and I can't even got a heart within him? My friend, but we got a true God. They're in a day today of the wrong attitude. They think their God is going to help them. They think their way is the best way. Yeah. And so you'd have to say they're in troubled times. They'd have to say, but I don't say staying calm in troubled times. I mean, and let me give you the rest of the chapter. Now, they're in troubled times. They're worshiping false gods. If you notice the God, he said, the God I made, the God that I set up, the God, my friend, that I want you to serve. And my friend, then he gives them a chance. If you'll just compromise, if you'll just forget about all your God, if you'll just forget about everything you've ever been taught and built, and my friend learned upon, he said, you'll be okay. But if not, we're going to put you in the fire furnace. My friend, did you know, I hate to say this, but most men would have buckled right there. Most churches would have buckled right there. Amen? Come on now, help me out. Most preachers would have buckled right there. Amen? We've seen some of that went on when all this virus started. I told somebody a while back, I said, you can see Lester Roloff and Dr. Seidler, some of them guys shutting the church down. I said, Dad, I went to jail, amen. And you know what? We're afraid we will have to go to jail, amen. We're afraid we will have to suffer a little persecution. But God said, if you live godly, you shall suffer persecution. And most of them, they said, oh, Lord, my friend. And you know what, Brother Jordan? They could have faked it out. They could have faked it out. They said, all right, Medico, what do you think? Why don't we go over and we'll just go through the motion, act like everything's okay, and that way at least we won't have to go through the fire furnace. At least we don't have to face all this stuff. And they could have went over there, Brother Mike, and falsely bowed down and worshiped that and went on. Everything been okay. The king wouldn't say nothing to them. They could have went right back to where they was. And you know what's a lot of people are doing? They're bowing down. They say, well, it don't matter. We'll just give in a little bit. We'll just let up a little bit. It won't matter. We'll just ease through this. And my friend, get by. And my friend, we'll just let up on our convictions. We'll let up on our stand. We'll let up on what's going on. But I'm going to tell you what. We're in trouble time, and they're in trouble time, and they've got a choice. They've got a choice. They can bow down under the troubles. Or, my friend, they can overcome their troubles and make God who He really is. So let me give it to you through, and I'll be through. I thought about, first of all, how to stay calm in troubled times. First of all, you're going to have to face it with confidence. Look in verse number 16. Now, they gave them a choice. They said, if you bow down, well. If you don't, we're going to put you in the fire furnace. And verse 16, and he said, the last phrase of verse 15, who is that God that shall deliver you? They gave him a question. Who is that God that shall deliver you? Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They said, we're not going to bat an eye. We don't even have to think about it. We don't even, my friend, have to have a little convention and a little talk about it. We don't have to, my friend, see what each other believes. If you notice that, they said, we, all three of them. Now, they didn't have time to make a conference. They didn't have time to say, what do you think, Shadrach? What do you? But all three of them simultaneously said, we are not careful to answer thee. My friend, our confidence is in God. Who is that God? They said, we're not careful. We got confidence in God that He will help us. You know what's wrong with most of us? We've lost confidence in God. You know, if you lose confidence in somebody, you ain't got much use for them no more. If they make one mistake and you lose, they can be the best friend in the world. And my friend, you lose confidence. They do one thing wrong and you lose confidence in them. You ain't got nothing for them no more. Amen. We don't think about all the mistakes we made. But they can make one little mess up. They can make one little wrong statement. Or they can say something that we don't like or do something. And we lose confidence in them. And boy, it's hard to build that confidence back. I'll tell you, these old boys, my friend, these old boys, they looked in the past. They was back there in chapter 1. My friend, when God was taking care of them, when everybody else was eating steaks and everybody else was eating beans and taters, they wasn't eating nothing but bread and water. And my friend, when they came before the king, they flourished more than the others. They realized, my friend, God in the past had took care of them. And the same God of the past is the same God that was present. And the same God was going to help them if they did go into the fire furnace. They said, we're not careful to answer. They hired God that helped us in the past. It's the same God today. He'll be the same God tomorrow. And they never lost confidence. We have lost confidence in God. I'm going to tell you, God has been good. God has took care of us in the past. He's helped us in the present. And He'll be there in the future till Jesus comes. I've never lost confidence in God. Got to think about this the other day. I was sitting down there and in this meeting this week, and left here Wednesday night, went to another meeting. It had morning night services. Some of the old preachers there, some of them I hadn't seen in years, some of them I hadn't seen probably 20 years, that we started together over 50 years ago, and some of them was there, and boy, I was thrilled to death. And all of us old guys are sitting around my friend tables are talking, and they got to talking, and my friend Brother Jordan, they got to talking about traveling down the roads and things, and how this, and said, I broke down one time, and another one said, I had trouble over here, that. And I was sitting there, Brother Jordan, and all of a sudden I just start crying, tears start flowing down my face, and old Brother Cupper, he's about 80 years old, he said, Brother Goodson, I said, you okay? I said, oh yeah. I said, I just got got to thinking, I've been on the road 55 years. Ain't never broke down one time. I said, ain't never run out of gas. I said, my friend always made it home. My friend, even the snow, the rain, the storms. I said, I've always made it home. I said, I just got to thinking about God's good to me. God took care of me. And I tell you what, I've never, the same God today is still taking care of me. He's still supplying my needs. He's still, my friend, overshadowing me. I tell you, I'm glad God's been good to me, too good to me to lose confidence in God. Thank God, the same God I started with 62 years ago is the same God that's taking care of me now. Don't lose confidence in the time of trouble. Don't lose confidence in God. He said, our confidence ain't in your faults, God. Our confidence ain't in that gold that you've got set up over there. Our confidence ain't in your wisdom. Our confidence, we're not careful. Woo! Amen. I thought about in the book of Acts. I thought about in the book of Acts chapter 27 when it's in that storm. It looked like it's going to go under. They cast anchor. They throwed all this stuff away. You know, that's what's wrong with us. Every time we have a little storm, we want to throw this away and get rid of it. Run down here and make a little possession. Oh, God, I'm sorry I done this. Amen. But you know what? Paul went down to the bottom of the ship. And him and God had a little meeting. And when he come up from there, they said, don't sail. Storm's too bad. Old Paul stepped up and he said, I believe God. Come up out of our confidence. He said, I believe God. We're going to lose the ship. No man's going to lose their life. God's going to so protect us. Not one hair's going to fall from your head. And everybody's going to make it on board. You know what? He got down there and got confidence with God. You know what some people need to do in the time of trouble? Find you a place. Bear your head in the throne room of God and renew your confidence that God is God. And he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Put your confidence in God. I got a little 3-year-old grandbaby. And her daddy's a good daddy. And she's 3 years old. And she loves her daddy. And I told her the other day, I said, she was over at the house, and I said, you want something to eat? She said, my daddy get me something to eat. I said, you want to take a bath before you go to the house and they pick you up? My daddy gave me a shower. I said, well, what? And I said, well, we'd kept rolling out. I said, you don't put your clothes on. Your daddy's on his way. You don't put your clothes on here. Get out of your jammers. She said, my daddy, put my clothes on me. And I looked her and I said, daddy, that's all I hear. But you know what? My friend, that dad's loved her. That dad's been right there for her. And you know, she's just playing away. And you know what? I said, you hungry? My daddy will feed me. She wasn't worried about eating. When it come time to eat, she knowed her daddy. Thank God would take care of her. She had confidence. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, when it comes time to eat, I'm glad God's the one that feeds us. When it comes time to go, God's the one that protects us in heaven and give us the strength. I tell you what, through many dangers, falls and snares, I have already come. His grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will leave me. I'm glad my confidence, thank God my hope's not in the Pope. My confidence is not in this election. My confidence in trouble times is God. Amen. We're not careful to answer that. Our God. Amen. You know what? The disciples lost it. John chapter 6. They'd seen God work and move, raise the dead, open blinded eyes, heal Peter's mother-in-law, all kinds of stuff they'd seen. They got down there, there's 5,000 men plus women and children need to be fed. And Jesus said, give you them to eat. They said, well, Lord, we ain't got but 5 loaves, 2 fish. We ain't got 200 pence. What is that sufficient? What is that among so many? You know what happened? After all they'd done, God had done, they'd seen him done, they lost confidence in that situation. Ain't that amazing how sometimes we talk about what God done and how God healed us and God done this and God's pardoned me, and then some little old tragedy come and we lose all confidence in God. We just wringing our hands like, what are we going to do? Amen. What are we going to do? Come up here, preacher, what are we going to do? Why don't you just trust God like you always have? Why'd you lose confidence in God? I've got a doctor. I've been going to him for 35 years. Same doctor. You know, some people change doctors all the time, and I guess that's okay. Sometimes you change it because your insurance won't take. I don't know all that stuff. But I've been going to him for 35 years. was over a while back, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "you've been coming over here for 35 years. I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Did you know? Did you know?" I was looking at the other day. He said, "Me and my nurse, and you and your wife is the oldest patients we've got. You started out back when I was young, and you're still with us." And said, "You've been with us," and said, "You've been coming to us longer than anybody else." What he was saying is, some of your mother's done dead, and you're next, I think is what he's trying to say. He said, "You've been coming longer. You've never changed." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, Doc," I said, "you've never done me wrong. You've always tried to do right." And I said, "You've always tried to help us, and you always have helped us." And I said, "Why in the world would I want to leave somebody that I got confidence in?" I said, "I don't have confidence in a lot of things, but I got confidence, my friend, that you've been there and you're going to help me. I'll tell you why, but I want to go to a false god. Why I want to go, my friend, to a religion. Why I want to go, my friend, to man. Thank God, when I've never lost confidence in God, He has never failed me yet." So if you're going to stay calm, jump time, you got to put confidence in God. I've got to move on. Not only you got to face it with confidence, you got to face it with certainty. Look in verse 17. He said, "We're not careful to answer thee." And look at verse 17. "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King." First of all, they said, "We're certain of one thing, God's able. Your furnace ain't no match to God." Is that all you got, fire furnace? Most of us have been scared of that, wouldn't we? Most of us said, "Oh, Lord, fire furnace. Woo, I can feel the heat now." Oh, man, I've seen that happen before. Oh, hey, I've heard about people going through that before. And we got so wrapped up looking at the fire furnace, but they weren't looking at that fire furnace. They was looking to God. They said, "Our God is bigger than what you got." If that's all you got, we ain't got no problems. Amen? If all you got's a fire furnace, it ain't no trouble to us. Our God's able. He can blow the fire out. I just thought about this. He said, you know, God spoke the world in existence. He just said, "Let there be light." Well, that fire furnace, all God had to do, go, it went out. Woo! Did you think about that? All he had to do was just go, and it went out. It wouldn't have nothing. Amen. It wouldn't have anything. My friend, he said, "Our God is able," but he don't understand that. He said, "He's not only able, He will deliver us." You know what? They were certain, my friend, they were certain, our God is not going to let us go. Our God's not going to show up and make a fool out of us over your false God. Our God will come, and He will deliver us. I like that certainty, don't you? I thought about my friend David. When David was facing that giant, they said, "Well, you're just a lad, he's a giant." You know what David said? He said, "I done whooped the bear, I done whooped the lion." And listen to this. He said, "The same God that delivered him from there is going to deliver him." He said, "I'm certain that God that come out when that bear come out of there." I don't know about you, my friend. If a bear comes out of the wood, I hope he can run fast. I told one fella, said, one guy that had bear, we've been having bears in the home. One guy said, "Preacher, what's going to happen if a bear gets after you?" I said, "He'll have to bite me in the hind end because I'm moving, buddy." Amen. He won't get me in the front. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, my friend, I don't know if I could or not, but I don't know what I'd do if I faced one of them. But can you imagine? David faced that bear, and God helped him. He faced that lion. That'd be worse than the bear. And God helped him. And he had so much confidence in God. He said, "I am certain that the same God that helped me then is going to help me there." Boy, ain't it good to know when the things you went back through and the things you went through, you can look back and say, "Man, God, I was broke and God supplied my needs. I was sick and God healed me. I was in trouble and God solved the problems. I was in a storm and God brought peace to the storm." And I am certain that the same God that helped me then is going to help me now. I've told this many times. My dad was going through a discouragement, Brother Slick. He's going through discouragement when he got old. And some of you young people, you don't face this. When you get old, it's different. Like when I was young, I told him, "Listen, do something." I just done it. And we resigned the church and left, went somewhere else, you know, or done this, or done that, just stepped out by faith. and they'd take an offering. We'd just throw $500 in, and we didn't even have it. We'd go to the bank, borrow it, trust God to help us pay it, and we'd go to work and pay it back, and it was crazy. Now when you get old, you think, whoa, I'm getting old. I don't know about this, you know. And my dad was getting older, and he got to thinking about his ministry and becoming older. And I found out even in the ministry, a lot of times the older you get, the less use people's got for you. Hey, come on, help me out. You know, it's like kids. Oh, don't get on this. It's like kids. They got a need for their mom and daddy. When they're young, they want to buy them tennis shoes, and they want to buy them all this stuff, and they want to get them all in Nintendos and everything. But when they get old, they ain't got no use for them. They forgot they are where they are because of them. Come on, they'll help me out. They will stick them off some nursing home somewhere. Take everything they got and forget about them. You forgot. You are what you are because of them. Amen. And my friend, you know, when you get older, and my daddy got older, and he's kind of worried about it. And my friend, and Brother Mike, he was praying one day, and he said, God, I'm getting older in my ministry. And he said, I don't know, you know, and I can't go like I used to go, and I can't do. And he was worried about his finances and all that stuff. And God said, oh, over there, reminded him, over in Elijah's day, my friend, when he was out there on the back out of nowhere, and God brought the ravens in the morning, and raisins in the evening, and fed him for my friend a year, every morning. Elijah's sitting there, here come them ravens in with food. Every evening, Isaac sitting there, here come the raven in with food. And he said, the Holy Ghost said, son, I fed you in the morning of your ministry. I'll not forsake you in the evening time of your ministry. And daddy said, I ain't never had the heart of, where's the beef? Amen. God took care of him. Boy, ain't you glad, my friend? I'm certain of one thing. My friend, he was with me then. He's living now. And I tell you, if I live to be 90, he'll still be there. He'll still be God. He'll still be on the throne. You can face it with certainty. God will never change. Amen. I thought about my boys. I got two boys, one of them 43, another one's 35, 36, something like that. Got seven grandyoungins. And I thought about this the other day. I'm not tooting my own horn, but I thought about this. Everything that goes on in their life, you know who they'll call? Me. They'll call me. They got car trouble, they'll call. Daddy, I got car trouble. And I say, well, what's wrong? And they say, doing this or doing that. I say, well, it sounds like so-and-so. Well, Daddy, you know, where can I take it? And I say, well, take it down there. John's, he can take care of that. I'll call him. And or they got, you know, the wash machine can go down. That wash machine goes out. I'm thinking, you know, just go buy you one. But it's just like they want you to know that. And my boy called the other day. He said, Daddy, I got plumbing trouble. I got plumbing trouble. Called this week. He said, I got plumbing trouble. I said, what's the matter? And he told me, he said, well, when you first come old, and all said, or take a shower, it backs up and everything. And I said, well, your septic tank's full. You think that's what it is? He says, it's in the lines. I said, no, it's in your septic tank. It's full. I don't think so. I said, well, it is. What'd you call me for? You know, that's what's wrong with it. You know a plumber? I said, yeah, here. And you got to give him the plumber's number. I said, call him. He's going to tell you the same thing. And you know what? And he called his plumber. The plumber got up there and he told him, "Running and stand in the yard." That plumber said, "He said, well, I tell you what the problem is." Said, "It sounds like since all of it's acting up." Said, "Your septic tank's probably full." He said, "That's what my daddy said." He said, "Your daddy probably old, got a little bit of wisdom about him." You know what? Checked out wrong with it. Septic tank was backed up. Had pumped out. Them thing works fine. Amen. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? My grandkids come by there today. What about this? What about that? And you know what they call me? I said, they call you for everything. I said, you know what? You can say they're spoiled. You can say whatever. But I kind of like it that they got enough confidence in me to know that I'll listen and I'll do what I can to help them. And I'll try to give them some advice. I'm glad they got that confidence. And my friend, it would bother me if they come along and said, called me and said, Papa or Daddy, what's Brother Doug's number? As much as I love Brother Doug. And I said, what do you need? Well, we got plumbing trouble. We want to call Doug and see if he can help us and bypass me. That hurt my feelings. Amen? And I wouldn't care if Brother Doug helping him. And he can send him some money if he wants to. It won't bother me a bit, Brother Doug. Help yourself. it would bother me that they passed me up. I wonder if it don't bother God when we pass him up and we try to go this direction, that direction. We try to help ourselves. We try to put our confidence in men. They said, I'm going to tell you what, we ain't looking to man. We ain't looking to ourselves. But our God is able, and he will. We are certain that he will help us. You can face it, my friend, with confidence. You can face it with certainty. Then let me say number three, you can face it with commitment. Book of verse 18. He said, but if not, being unto you king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That word commitment means firm pledge or a promise. You know what they said? They said, well, if he rescues us, if he don't rescue us, if we have to go in, if we don't have to go in, we are not going to bow to your God. They were committed. They said, we're committed to God. We're not committed to your God. We're committed to our God. And if he allows us to burn, we burn. If he allows us and rescues us, he rescues. If we have to go in, fine. If he saves us before we go in, fine. But we're not going to bow down. We're not going to change. You'd be surprised how many people walk out of this building if they come in here with guns and said, if you want to compromise, if you want to deny his name, go on out of here, and the rest of you, we're going to shoot. You'd be surprised how many knock hinges off that door. He died for us, but we ain't willing to die for him. He stood for us, but we're not willing to stand for him. I hope that never happens. They told a story one time. They told it to be true. I don't know myself, but I heard the story, and they said it was a true story. Had some people come in a big old church over in the Carolinas and had some guns and everything, walked in and had everybody stand up. And they said, all right, everybody, my friend that refuses, my friend, to deny the Lord Jesus and deny the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you stay. And all of you others, my friend, we're going to shoot everybody in here that stays and get out. They said they about emptied the building. Said there was about 25 people still standing there. Said they took their mask off, laid their guns down, said, okay, y'all the true blue, let's go to worshiping God. I wonder if we're that committed. Amen. Boy, got quiet right here. I wonder if we're that committed to stand with the church and stand with God and stand with what's right. Amen. Stand with the book and stand with the truth. People are changing the word of God all the time. People are changing, my friend, going in different directions of everything and trying to call it worship. And I'll tell you what, you've got to be committed, my friend. They said, we're committed. Whatever God wants, whatever God allows, whatever God sends us through, whatever God rescues us from, we are committed in his hand, not our will, but God's will be done. Troubled times, you know, you've got to be committed. If we have to go through the troubled times, okay. If we don't, okay. And I'm going to tell you what. This virus shook everybody up. Everybody's scared. Amen. Fear. I never seen much fear grip the church. Even fear that gripped God's men. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying that. But fear gripped everybody. Amen. We just done everything they said. We just fell right in. Amen. Come on now, help me out. And we're living in fear. We're living in fear. I told my boys the other day, I said, get them masks. Let's go down there to the little country store and we'll rob it. We got these masks on. They don't know who we are. I said, we'll just go down and rob it and get some money or something. They don't know who we are. They have promoted robbing. Amen. Might have been more Western days. They just put all that on, robbed them, left town. Amen. It'd be amazing what they told us to do. We'd just fall right in line. I'm not against that. I'm not fighting that. I'm not fighting that. Please don't think. I think you ought to protect yourself, and I think they're right in a lot of things. I'm not fussing about that. I'm just talking about how easy we are just to fall right in line with whatever they say, whatever they do. It's amazing in preaching today, and I know some churches, it's just has happened. My friend, that we believe the old time way. We believe the King James Bible. We believe the blood is the only way. We believe that Christ is the only hope. And we believe there's a heaven coming and all that stuff. And we believe it all of our life. And my friend, the pastor can leave. They'll call somebody else. And he'll come in and, my friend, preach something else. And people just fall right in line with whatever's being said. Amen. I know a church right now in Crossville has stood faithful for years. my friend, that repentance, you have to repent to be saved. You got a new preacher. He come in, you know what he did? He started preaching, you don't have to repent. Just repeat a prayer after me, and you'll be saved. What he's saying is, I'd save you. Just repent a prayer. And you know what? They just fell right in with him. Some of them said, if you repeated that prayer, how many times you've been made baptized, you need to be baptized again. And my family had a whole church-wide baptism. All he does, come in. You know what? They just fell apart and failed. Been standing in the old time way for years. We're in that day. You're going to have to be committed to what you stand for and what you believe. Right. Amen? And then let me say something else. You're going to have to face it with courage. Look at verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his image was changed to get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore we spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more that it want to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them in the fire furnace. These men who were bound in their clothes and their hosen and their hats and their other garments were cast in the midst of the burning fire furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, my friend, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame flew those, slew those men. Somebody said, well, that fire wasn't really real. Well, it slew these guys. Tell me it wasn't real. Amen. And the Bible said, where's it at? In verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fire furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste, said, did not we cast three men bound in the fire furnace? They answered and said unto him, lo, true, O king. He answered, lo, I see four, and walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. The form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. They was committed, and they had courage. You know, some people are committed to the actual lay hands on them and head to the furnace. It's easy to say, oh yeah, God, we'll stand with you, Pastor. We'll go to jail with you. Until the law shows up and puts the cuffs on you. It's a different story, isn't it? It's a different story. Come on, help me out. You ever think about old Joshua over when Joshua had a promise from God, and he said, you know, Moses, my servant's dead. Moses, my servant's dead. And he said, you're going to take over this whole project, this whole thing. And he said, be strong and of good courage. He said, for unto this people thou shalt divide and inherit the land. I swear to the Father, only be strong and courageous that thou may observe to do all that the law. And he goes on and said, have I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord is thy God, and with thee wheresoever thou goest. Be strong, be of good courage. You know what? It takes courage. It takes courage in these days to stand. It takes courage, my friend, to go and go through some things. See, we're always wanting God to get us out of everything. I don't ever find where these guys beg God to get them out of it. And say, God, don't allow us to go through the fire furnace. They said, our God, they didn't say, our God won't put us in the fire. He's too good a God. Oh, well, no, God allowed him to go. He allowed Daniel to go through. He didn't get Daniel out of the line then. Amen? He didn't get David out of fighting the giant. Yeah, he allowed. He didn't save the disciples before they got in the storm. He saved them when they got in the storm. Sometimes it takes courage just to go on and go through. Just go on and go through what you have to go through. Face what you have to face. They ain't no telling what we're going to face in these days. But you know what? It takes courage. You had that word courage. I looked that word up, courage. And you know what it means? It means fearless, brave, with the right attitude. Have courage to go on. Fight. Go on. Stand. I got a grandson. Just went to, he's in the military. He's about 5 weeks into his training. And he went in the Marines, and he come talk to me one day, and I told him, I said, son, I said, the first 2 weeks, if you've ever been in the military, you know what I'm talking about. First 2 weeks, I said, all they do is harass you. They ain't going to train you nothing. I said, they're just going to harass you. They're going to cuss you and talk about you and call you names and do everything in the world, make you do push-ups. I said, you're going to think that's the meanest people in the world. What have I done? But I said, if you can make it the first 2 weeks, they'll start training you. I said, still going to be hard, still going to be difficulty. But I said, you just take courage, and you think about when I get through with this, when I get through with this training, I'm going to be a Marine. When I get through with this training, I've got some stuff behind me. and I can march on forward and do something better and fight for my country and make my dad proud and make my papa proud. And I said, it just takes courage to go on and face all that stuff that you're going through. I got a word from him. I got a word from him the other day. You know what he had in that? You know what he had wrote? Courage. He grabbed on the courage. He's pushing through. He's pushing through. He don't want to be a failure. He said, Papa, I don't want to be a failure. I don't want to go away. Well, I don't want to get in the middle of that and get me so hard I have to throw my hands up. He said, I know out yonder somewhere the training's going to be over. And my friend, the hard time's going to be over. And I'm going to, they're going to put me in a place to serve. And they're going to put me in a place, my friend, to represent our country. I'm going to tell you what, whatever you're going through today, just be of good courage. God's got something out there for you. If you just wade through with courage, he got something out there for you on the other side of that tribal. Other side of that problems, he got something for you. Amen. Well, this little illustration keeps coming to my mind. I'm going to give it to you and quit. You know, when you study and you pray and you study and you pray and you study and you pray, sometimes you feel like, you know, you ain't doing nothing. But you're putting something in here. You're putting something in. You're putting something in. It's kind of like a piggy bank. You remember you used to have them little piggy banks? I got one the other day for my little old granddaughter. Sat there at the house, and I told her, I said, now, when you get change, save it, bring it over to Papa, and we'll put it in here. And I said, Papa will match it, and we'll put change in there. I said, you can, you know, build you up some money and stuff. She's just three. I always tickled her to death. And so we got that little piggy bank. But you know, we used to all have them piggy banks. Everybody had a piggy bank when you was a kid. You know what? Every time your little change you'd put in there. You steal your mama's change, put it in there. Go to the store with your daddy to get change. Daddy, Papa, or Daddy, I want that change. You'll put that in my big bank. You know, go to your papa's house and mama's house and beg change, you know. You put a little change in there, a little change in there, a little change in there. And somewhere down the road, you get to wanting something and needing something. You remember that? You know what we used to do? We used to get that piggy bank. We turned it upside down, you know, and you'd shake it. I don't know why mom, you know, they had piggy banks that had little plugs in them. Mother, Dad, and they would give us one of them with a plug in. Just have that hole where you put it in. You'd shake it thing, shake it thing, shake it thing. And a little bit would fall out, a little bit here, a little bit, and you get aggravated. Just a little here, you know, dime fall out here, the cord, and you shake, and then dime fall out. And you think, you know what, after a while, you know what to do? You wouldn't got a hammer. Y'all ever do this? You wouldn't got a hammer, and you just busted it wide open. Got all of it out. That you could use it. You know what? Sometimes in troubled times, God's just trying to shake us. Get a little out of us what we've been putting in. And sometimes, you know what? God can't shake enough, so he just takes a hammer and breaks us. And that's inside comes out. He's trying to get that faith that we've talked about. He's trying to get that courage. He's trying to get that confidence. He's trying to get that certainty out of our hearts and life that we'll step forth and say, you know, when you break that thing, you get all that change. You come here and say, man, Daddy, take me to the store. I've got enough.
Right. Good.
I've got enough. You know what? Sometimes God's trying to send us through troubled times. He's trying to break us. And to that certain place that we've got God, we've got grace, we've got mercy, we've got truth, we've got God. Amen. I'm telling you, in troubled times, and what I said a while ago was, there ain't no telling. This virus ain't the end of it. I mean, there's no telling what we're going to have to go through. Because the Bible says it's going to get worse and worse and worse. There's no telling what we're going to go through. But you know what? In troubled times, let me read it to you. Face it with confidence. Face it with certainty. Face it with commitment. Face it with courage. And you know what you can do? You can expect a victory. Look at it. Look at the rest of that chapter. When they come out of that fiery furnace, verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning furnace. He spake, said, hey, boys, come up out of there. And they come up out of there, and the Bible said, they come out of the midst of the fire. Fire still burning. Can you imagine that, just walking up out of the fire? And the prince and the governor and the captain, all them people come running over, and the fire had no power. There was not a hair of their head singed. Neither their coats was changed. Neither the smell of fire. And the fire was real because it burnt the bands off of them. Bought the ropes that they was tied up. They come out of there. Listen to this. Verse 28 says, then Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angels, delivered his service, to trust in him, and have changed the king's word, yielded their bodies, as he said, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language, he goes on and said, they're going to serve the God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego serves. You know what this world needs to see? They need to see that we know the true God. And somewhere, my mother and father-in-law, bless their heart, they're both dead and in heaven now. They weren't real church people. And remember the First Baptist Church, but never went. My father-in-law, he raised up in the Church of Christ, but they both joined the First Baptist Church there in Newport, and never went, but they joined. In fact, my wife signed a card and was supposed to have been saved, going to heaven at that same church. But they didn't know nothing about God, didn't believe in God. God was just somebody. And I got in the family. And we started traveling, preaching. Kay's going with me. Her mama told her one day, she said, if you want to divorce him, I'll pay for it. And we'll get you a apartment, and we'll buy you any kind of car you want if you'll just leave him. He's a nut. Going all over the place preaching, serving, doing all the stuff he's doing. He's wasting his time, life. Y'all gonna starve to death. That's what happened when we first got married. And God put my wife, I probably never told this, but God put my wife to the test. She was mixed and mingled what to do. And we were starving. We were struggling. And I was working a little old job, Brother Jordan, and the Lord impressed me to transfer to Greensboro, North Carolina. I put in for a transfer. I got it. Transferred over there. I packed our little apartment up. Kay stayed with her mom and daddy, trying to make her mind on what she's going to do. I told her, I said, listen, I called home one day, and I said, listen, I'll be back in Friday, and I'm going to pack all this stuff over here. If you won't go, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. The day I proposed to you, I told you I was going to serve the Lord and travel up down this country and preach the gospel. And if you still want to get in on that, that's fine. I got a call about 2 days later. She's just sobbing on the phone. I said, what's the matter? She said, I told Mom and Daddy the way you proposed to me. And I said, I do, and I ain't changed my mind. Amen. If you'll just come on and get me. Good. And what the Holy Ghost did? The Holy Ghost said, put in for a transfer back. I hadn't been down for 2 weeks. I put in for a transfer back. I got it. I called her. I went home, unpacked all her stuff, put it all back out. We sat right there and served God out of that place. My mother-in-law and father-in-law, they're dying days. Dying days. Let's say, Mike, pray for us. Mike will help us. Mike's true. They tell people when they go through problems, they'd give them a phone number and they say, your mother-in-law said to call you. You know how to get a hold of God. Boy, I'm glad I didn't give in to marital pressure. I'm glad I stayed true to God. You know what happened? They seen the same God I seen. They recognize that God, he serves his God. You know what your family needs, some of your friends need, and your home needs, and your kids need? They need to see that God that you serve is real. Amen. And you're committed to him. You're committed, and you're certain that he's going to help you, and he's going to take care of you. I'm glad, thank God, we serve a God that's real. Amen. Or get these dollars and say, God, increase our faith.
Did you know that you could receive a daily devotion every morning in your inbox? Head on over to ibcflorence.com and click on Daily Devotions to sign up today. And as always, thanks for listening.